Hey, hi everyone. My name is Seth Pazinski with ONC, and I would like to thank everybody for joining today. This is a meeting of the Interoperability Standards Work Group, and I will be serving as the designated federal officer for today's call on behalf of Wendy Naboa. As a reminder, all work group meetings are open to the public, and public feedback is welcome. Members of the public can type comments in the Zoom chat feature throughout the meeting. And at the end, we have time in the agenda for verbal comments for anyone who wants to take advantage of that and make verbal comments towards the end of the meeting. With that, I will start off our meeting with a roll call of the work group members. So when I call your name, could you please indicate that you are present? I'm going to start with the co-chairs, Sarah DeSilvi.
I am here.
Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Good morning. Pooja Babra.
Good morning. I'm here.
Ricky Bloomfield.
Good morning.
Medell Briggs Melanson.
Good morning, everyone. Good
morning. Hans Butendijk.
Good morning.
Good morning. Keith Campbell.
Oh, my Uber's almost here.
Good morning.
I love you.
Good morning. Yeah, folks could just mute, please. Thank you. Christina Caraballo.
Good morning.
Grace Cordovano.
Good morning.
Raj Dash.
Good morning.
Derek DeYoung.
Good morning.
Lee Fleischer.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let's see, we did get a message that Hannah Galvin will be absent today. Let me go to Raj Gudvardi.
Good morning.
Okay. Jim Jurgis.
Present.
Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Hung Liu. We did get a message that Hung might not be available today. Anna McAllister. Katrina Miller Parrish.
Good morning.
Morning. Aaron Neinstein. Kiki Loma Ashunkintan.
Good morning.
Morning. Rochelle Prosser.
Good morning, everyone.
Mark Savage.
Good morning.
Morning. Michelle Schreiber. Phil Sutherland. Kelly Spiro.
Good morning.
Morning. Zanette Sumar King.
Good morning.
Morning. And Naresh Sundar Rajwan.
Good morning.
Morning. All right. Anybody I missed? All right. Well, thank you, everyone. That completes our roll call. And now I will turn it over to Sarah and Ike for their opening remarks.
Morning, everybody. Not incredibly in-depth opening remarks as we head into the actual labor of this work group. I want to thank everybody who went in to the share drive and already offered comments. We hope to kind of dive into the work, as I mentioned today, and really looking forward to reviewing all the comments and the elements that we already have in the spreadsheets. I do want to note that we will be identifying things that need to have subject matter expert review, and we'll be discussing those, and we already have some great ideas of who needs to come back and speak. Again, if you do have any ideas about who additional SMEs, please let us know. And then Ike, any other further comments before we proceed?
You did a great job as usual. I'd just like to echo your welcome, and I'm excited to get into the meat of the material.
I know, here we go. All right, I believe that's it on this side, Seth. Next slide. Next slide. As I mentioned, we always try to ground ourselves in the charge because this is the work that we have set to complete in order to disseminate the transmittal letter back to HITACH in early April. This charge is to review and provide recommendations on ONC's draft USCDI version 5, and then to provide specific guidance on those elements from USDIV 5 that should be considered. And we talked a lot last meeting about what that means, that recommendation. It includes revisions of definitions. It includes addition of supporting elements. It includes alignment with existing standards, including everything available in FHIR. It includes, and in general HL7, it includes specific data standard recommendations. So the kind of recommendations we offer from each of our expertise can be very vast. And then also beyond draft USCDIV 5, it also includes elevating and revisiting perhaps any level 2 data classes and elements that were not included in draft USCDIV 5 that we think should be considered. And again, thanks to all those members of the committee who have started to populate those level 2 elements at the bottom of the spreadsheet so we can discuss them over the course of our charge. Ike, anything else to say?
No, I think you covered it beautifully.
Go team, we got this. All right, next slide. And then these are the questions, the specific questions, and this is a slide from last time. So just noting that, Al, do you want to cover this or should I? Want me to review it?
I can. Okay. Thanks, Sarah. This is, so this is not officially part of the work group's charge, but these are some specific questions that we've asked of the public through our standards bulletin, the new published draft V5. We also published the standards bulletin, which provides more background, more details about the rationale for adding certain data elements to draft V5. We are asking the public specific questions. So these specific questions may guide the work group members' comments and recommendations. And it's just that, may provide a guide. And these are to reflect some specific questions.
And we've already seen those questions be responded to because we transmitted them onto the spreadsheet. Very helpful.
Yeah.
Already conversation regarding them. All right, next slide. And then I believe at this point in time, we're entering into our work, correct? Next slide.
Yep, sorry about that. Yeah, we're ready. I'm ready with the spreadsheet.
Great.
And we can, however you want to work through the list, get started on the list is fine. Let me share my screen. Let me find where my Zoom button is. Share my screen.
As Al's pulling up the spreadsheet, I'm just going to note some of the approaches we're thinking about for this meeting. Because we have a lot of new members, it'd be wonderful. What we're thinking of doing is actually kind of running down the list. And then if there are elements that are like so solid that we feel like there's not a conversation that needs to happen, we can move them through. It's also an opportunity for people to note comments or need for additional conversation or need for additional SME representation. So we're really just going to run down the list from the top to the bottom and make sure, and we, you know, again, hoping to move some things through to the stage where members are drafting the final recommendation in time for the transmittal letter, but mostly just making sure that everyone feels comfortable with the element as represented and making sure that we really are thorough about things that need more in-depth conversation so we can plan accordingly. How's everyone feel about that? Sound good? Ike, any other thoughts? Are we good to go? Should we start?
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right. okay, so this is why probably the last meeting was the only meeting we will ever leave early, because this is when the work actually starts. So if we scroll over a little bit, I just want to remind everybody that each of these elements has an entry number, just because things can move around a little bit. There's the entry number that's assigned by Al. Thank you for all of your work setting us up. Things that were elevated from the ONC via draft USCDI usually start right at that column E. And so the first element we have of note, not meant to have a pun because it is a note, is an element that's come up repeatedly across other ISWGs. The data element is emergency department note. The definition is summary of care delivered in emergency department. There is an aligned data standard, which is at minimum the emergency department note LOINC code. In column I, you can see it is elevated to draft USCDI V5, and this is a part of our review. So we think about our two elements of the charge. This is the first part of the charge, which is reviewing those draft V5 elements. And you can already see in column J a fair number of conversation. And so we're just going to walk through this as an example of how, at the top level, whether any members have any concerns with moving this along, you can see the conversations that's happened in J. You can see that Stephen Lane started us out with a member recommendation of including it in V5, and multiple members of the committee have added their pluses. And then some people made an independent commentary. And then Hans, as he often does, has a little bit more in-depth recommendation. Hans, do you want to come off just to talk about what that member recommendation is and to see whether or not we need additional commentary before recommending it for inclusion?
Sure. So I'll start with one comment that some of you have heard, but others may not. Typically, the comments that I make are not a concern or a need or priority of the element, but they relate to how implementable, practical are they at this point in time in the progression from USCDI current scope to really, if we think about it, PHI. So I want to make sure that it's clear that I'm not trying to address the importance of it, just the clarity and what that means to ensure that when standards are being implemented, defined, implemented, that and that we all know what it is. So in this particular case, and actually it's a comment I'll do once for both emergency department and note, and then a little bit more for emergency department, is that what are we really talking about here? There is some confusion that has come up in USCDI as clinical notes start to come in. Are we talking about a narrative summary, if you will, a one or two paragraph, just the narrative? Or are we talking about more of a document that has the narrative plus additional information, structured results, other structured data, an image, whatever might be else out there? And what has happened is that LOINC codes have been used, the same LOINC codes have been used for both. As a result, depending on how you're trying to get access to the data, is getting confusing as to what am I going to get? Am I going to get both one, the other? What would I like? So the question is very much around, can we have clarity that we truly mean, and as we have done so far predominantly, that we are focusing on narrative summaries, and that if there is a need, that we also have a little bit more clarity around, should it actually be the same LOINC code as that we identify as the recommendation, even though it's stated as a minimum? Are we really looking at that as two different concepts, a narrative summary and a document that includes that? USCDI has defined that in a way that you could go to either one of those directions. And in the execution of that, it has started to become a little bit unclear. Which one are we really focusing on, first, second, third? So that's the general question that's raised on both. The note specifically to the emergency department, just as a backdrop, if it's beyond the narrative summary, particularly on the CCDA side, on the document, there is currently not a agreed to emergency department document type with templates, everything. So it's a little bit more standards development. On the operative note, there's one already there. So the definition of the supporting standard is already there. So that's just a little bit of context.
Thank you so much, Hans. Mark?
Thanks, Hans. I want to pick up on that last point. Is there any kind of a general timeline for how long it's going to take before we start adding structured data elements to the notes?
Well,
just asking in general, so we have a sense of the arc.
Also, that's not a question to me. It's a general question to others.
No, you may have a thought on it because it's, okay. I'm picking up on what you said. I understand that we don't have the structured data elements there yet. They're in process. Any sense of when that will begin to pop?
This is, I think, it's not necessarily so much as though the elements don't exist. The elements are not currently included in the US CDI.
My question, Ike, was about the structured portion of to Hans's comment, that there's a narrative, but we are. And I'm wondering about the structured part.
Right, but exactly to that point, there's a difference between what's included as a structured document outside of the conversation specific to USCDI. In other words, there's currently not a structured document element within the USCDI that speaks to a post-surgical note. There may be other resources outside of the USCDI that as a document that include a structured document as a post-surgical note. So is your question more along the lines of structured content within the USCDI or structured content outside of the USCDI for potential inclusion?
Structured content within the USCDI, and I wasn't thinking that structured made it a separate data element. I was thinking it's just a different way of capturing and exchanging within the existing USCDI data element. But if I'm wrong, let me know.
Okay, so I'm gonna try to move through a few more of the comments. Rochelle, and then I believe Al's queuing as well. Because I think there's the general question that Hans has needs to be answered as well. Rochelle?
I remuted myself, apologize. Thank you. So in listening to the overall discussion, and thank you, Sean, for explaining that a lot better for me. When we are looking at the notes particularly, what is contained in that? Is that coming from nurse-driven documentation? Is it physician-driven documentation? Is it coming from the lab? It just helps me to understand a little bit better and clarify, to look at what those data elements are, to look at HIPAA, to look at the description, just a little bit more clarity around that.
Al, do you want to answer that as it stands right now with LOINC 3411?
I wanted to try and answer maybe all three questions at once. So number one, the clinical notes data class is intended to encompass the narrative components of these of notes in general, not the structured documents as defined by the CDA by CDA. But the intent of this is to capture the narrative component within the context of the name data element. So where there is narrative text in the setting of emergency department, the intent of this data element would be to be able to exchange that narrative component of the structured document.
Understood.
Using the LOINC code is one way to point to the context, when compiling a response for exporting or exchanging emergency department notes, there's an understanding that it's within the context of emergency department. If it's a progress note, it's within the context of a progress note. However the health IT categorizes it as a progress note, it could be a nursing progress note, it could be a provider's progress note, it could be a care coordinator's progress note. If it's sort of tagged as a progress note, the query should pick that up and it should be exchanged. Now, that's the intent of the data class, and we try to make that clear in the definition of the data class. And as we respond to questions like Hans's and like Mark's, we're trying to be consistent with our response that the intent is to capture the narrative. There is not a It is not our intent to turn these data elements into structured, defined, required structure. Because those are easy. If you're looking for a structured document of a certain type, a certain low-end code, then you potentially you could query that document separately. But this is intended to capture the narrative component because many, many times the only information that is available is in the form of a narrative or free text. And that's what, so there's not an intent to restructure these or to provide structure to the content. We're just looking for the narrative.
So I'm going to...
Thank you for that.
That definitely answered a few of the questions at once. And then Rochelle, I did put a note in there regarding the specific line codes and the roles, the clarification on roles aligned with those. So that being said, Hans, your hand is up. Does that resolve the complex, the comment, again, noting your conversation on considerations for implementation, noting that Al has clarified the intent of the element as written as narrative. Are you comfortable with that enough? How does that change your note, or do you feel comfortable proceeding with that clarification in mind, Al? I mean, Hans?
I would suggest, based on that clarification, and when you look at the data class, it starts with the word narrative, but then as you go into the notes themselves and the definition, that concept of narrative starts to change, because either the loin code is shared between the note and a document type that's already out there. So that starts to create the confusion and the challenges. And if you look at operative note, the usage note starts to use terminology in there as well that can start to imply that it's more than a narrative. So the suggestion that I think from that would be is that not only describe it in the data class that it's a narrative summary, but on each one of those, rather than stating summary of, indicate narrative summary of, to be more clear that that's what the intent is. So that's one part of the suggestion that I would still want to move forward to reduce ambiguity and varied interpretations. And the other one is that we really should generally reconsider whether the loin code used for a narrative summary is actually appropriate to be used as the same code is appropriate to be used for the document that is that fuller, larger concept that is well more than a narrative summary. And at this point in time, mixing the two is causing a challenge. So I think there's still two parts to the suggestion: add the word narrative to the description on each and every clinical note to avoid that. And second is to look at the loin codes and reconsider whether they actually should be differentiated between narrative and full document.
And just for newer members, this kind of subtlety is what we can address in our transmittal letter. So the kind of, you know, recommendation to refine definition to include and have implementation guidance and possibly seek additional code for that kind of the kind of text is usually what we try to capture in our formal recommendation. Just to make sure that we're all understanding and building knowledge together at the same time. Shelley.
Yeah, thanks, Hans. Just to help me clarify in my mind. So in the header of whatever is being exchanged, resource being exchanged, is it in the header that it is an emergency department note? And are you saying that that's different from another type of note that would be transmitted? Are there two places for loin codes, or am I missing something?
There are a couple of different ways. Don't want to go too detail, but there are a couple of different ways in which this is being expressed. And loin codes are used to identify what the rest of the information represents. And when you do that, so you have in documents, you have sections in FHIR, you have either observations or you have other things that are being used to express information. Loin code at that point in time tells you what it is. So if you have a loin code attached to one concept where the intent is to express a narrative note, then you know what to expect. If you're trying to express that I'm working with a document, then at that point in time, you know what to expect there. So it's not that there are dual ones right now. It is that when you look at the data, you have an understanding of, oh, I'm going to get a CVC, or I'm going to get the loin code. I'm going to get a document fully blown, and I can expect what to look at. I'm going to get a narrative note that can be included in the larger document as well. If they were the same, then a document like an emergency document, summary document, would actually have probably as his first section the narrative note that carries the same loin code. So in that sense, yes, you could see the same loin code in the same structure and wonder, what am I talking about? That's what we're trying to avoid when it goes beyond human readable into, I want to compute something and provide the necessary support.
Thank you.
Al, I'm wondering if we can, again, think about capturing, like if we're considering advancing this element and capturing the refinement that's required in a recommendation. Al?
Yeah, what ONC has, we're looking for very actionable recommendations. And Hans alluded to a particular actionable recommendation to change the definition to include the word narrative. Yeah. I think that's a tight recommendation, and that would be a great thing to see. Because we could very easily look at that, digest it, and make a decision on that particular recommendation. The other part of, one of the other things that Hans is talking about is related to how USCDI data elements are implemented into the US core and CCDA IGs. And that is a separate conversation that happens during the design phases of those implementation guides. And it's not something that can be solved in USCDI, it's something that can be solved during that design process. And so I think that, and that's been a question that has been raised, and the solution has been expressed in the IGs in the 4 years since clinical notes became a data element, became data elements in USCDI. So I would say that the part about how it's expressed be deferred to the design phase of the updates to US Core and CCDA.
Thank you so much, Al. There's a lot of great commentary in the chat regarding this topic. Jim?
Yeah, I'm gonna clarify, Hans, when we talk about structured versus narrative, let me just make sure that we're understanding. So if you look at it from the point of the workflow, a lot of ERs there's three different things. One is an automated structured note that's a sort of discharge summary that's generated automatically without the physician narrative. Then there's physician documentation, which may include highly structured note capture, right? Or may just be a dictated narrative, or there may be subsections. So are we talking about, are your concerns to make sure that we're not just, that people can't just use the automated, auto-genned discharge summary, but instead that we want to make sure we're talking about the narrative, which could be either a dictated note or a note that was entered in a semi-structured or structured and non-structured fashion. Because if it's the latter, then USCDI just needs to clarify that it's the doctor's note or the clinician's note, not just an auto-generated note, right? And then Albert's point about the details then get fleshed out in the implementation guides.
Jim, I think you're clarifying what Al was mentioning earlier regarding the intent. And I see a lot of, I see some great comments from Ricky and a comment from Raj. So I hear, sorry.
Yeah, I think that if it's correct that Hans just is wanting to make sure that the robo note that's auto-generated is not what we're talking about, but instead it's the clinician's note, then USCDI should have language that makes it clear that it is. Includes clinician narrative, not just auto-generated discharge summaries from various fields extracted automatically.
And we have a suggestion for that in two different ways that I've heard so far. We have changing the definition, the actionable element Al was talking about, to clarify that it is the narrative we're speaking of, both here, and then of course this would apply to the, to other note types. We have conversations regarding that. And then we also can include implementation guidance and design guidance, just because if we want to represent that complexity in implementation, we can do that in our transmittal letter.
Just trying to formulate a way forward. Hans?
I would like to, to the request of Al, to be more specific on the second recommendation. Considering that this may be something that needs to be worked out in the implementation guide, and that USCDI is meant to represent the concept and the vocabulary, not the structure and everything else, that given that it does provide right now a loin code recommendation, that it actually be removed, and that it leaves open then for the implementation guide discussion to sort out how can we distinguish the two sufficiently, and then identify as part of that which loin code is actually best for the narrative and which one is best for the document. And then once that is done, go back to USCDI and update that and say the conclusion of resolving it is whatever that is. At this point in time, by stating a loin code that has a potential and has demonstrated with the other clinical notes to date, that actually ends up using the same loin code for two different things, that creates a concern. So I would suggest that the specific recommendation is that a loin code for the notes is established once we have resolved how to distinguish, if that's necessary, between a narrative and a document.
Thank you so much, Hans. I'm going to go to Roger's comment after Ricky. Ricky?
I'm not sure I have too much more to add here now. I put some comments in here. I think this has been a great discussion. I agree that I think it would be useful to remove the loin codes right now, but I think we should be very clear that as part of that design process, a loin code should be chosen. I think part of the confusion here is if you look at the, and I'll put this in the chat, I'll put a link to, I think this is the loin code for a surgical op note as an example. If you look at how these loin codes are modeled, there's the high level code for the surgical op note, and then there are associated observations where it actually defines all of the structured components of that surgical op note if you were to create a CCDA document. And so I think this gets to Jim's comment earlier. If we're talking about structured notes, there's all different types of structure. And I think the specific type of structure that's being implied here is this structure defined by LOINC in creating this type of note with very specific sections, with specific identifiers and that type of thing. But you can define structure all sorts of different ways. I think typically the way EHRs create these notes today is not in this CCDA LOINC structure as defined here. It is, you know, putting a bunch of data together in what ends up being just a narrative summary. And that's what most have implemented today. So I think it makes sense to push a lot of this conversation to the data modeling phase, which happens afterwards, because I think there are differences in how it would be implemented for US Core and CCDA. But for US Core, it's pretty simple. They already describe a lot of this and how it works, and you just need another loin code to be selected as part of that process. And then that is implemented in that way.
Okay, so I'm going to try to synthesize what we're hearing, right? We're hearing that, and thank you, Stephen, for dropping in the element from the standards bulletin about the intent. It definitely clarifies the intent along the conversation we've been having regarding narratives. We hear a specific actionable plan to revise the definition to specify that we really are talking about the narrative, and this will clarify the intent, align with what Stephen just put in the chat. We also hear a recommendation, to remove the loin code and have, because it kind of pegs us into a morass of different implementation strategies, and because we have the definition really of the element and the intent of the element very clearly explicated, and then specific standards that apply can come back after conversation with design and implementation. Is that what I hear? Is that the thought? Move forward with this. Clarify that it's narrative, remove the loin code. Stephen?
I'm just concerned about removing the loin code. Yeah. It seems like, you know, the industry is really asking us for more specification. And when the less we have, the less we have, right? I mean, when I look at the loin code itself, it seems pretty clear. So I get that there are pros and cons to specifying it, but I'm not personally ready to throw it out. I mean, perhaps we could say EG using this loin, you know, so that we're not completely tied to it. But I'd I'd hate to lose that level of specification.
We could certainly keep it and then note our concerns in the transmittal letter as we have in the past. Hans?
Yeah, I don't think we're trying to say lose the loincoat. The question is, in what stage of the process do we arrive at the loincoat that now is clearly understood to be the one? The progression right now is that USCDI is defined first, published, so and then it doesn't change. So if we include the loincoat and then find out that actually we and that's now what we are quote unquote stuck with, that's what we need to use, we have a challenge that we have to start to recognize increasingly over the last 3-4 years that we identified early on, but we're now really starting to see the effects of that. So I think it's much more of a process that we need to be clear on. We want to end up with a loincoat, no argument around that. But it is, when do we get to that? And is it appropriate that we consider that we bifurcate the narrative from the structured documents? We can either have the discussion in USCDI and come that to that conclusion so that USCDI now recognizes that from the start, or we recognize that we need a little bit more discussion leading up and resolving it, and then come back and say, now we have figured out in the implementation how to do that in the guides. And now we come back and say, oh, based on that, we need to update the USCDI to reflect we arrived at loincoat X, Y, Z. I don't think it is the intent to get rid of loincoats. It is to get the right loincoats.
Can I ask, Hans, does the EG resolve your concerns? We're talking about as an exemplar, and then we can note the risk of implementation in our comment?
Examples to date have demonstrated in USCDI that they actually add to ambiguity, because if you have an example in the USCDI published and in the implementation guide development, for one reason or another, it's actually a better way to do it. This is the best way. We have clarification, et cetera, and you come up with something slightly different, then readers of the USCDI are going to have an expectation that it's there. In procedure, they say, for example, medication administration, you look at fire US score, you won't find it. So we have to be very careful with examples that they serve the purpose for guiding what we need to do and work through the process of getting to the guides, the actual standards. But then we need to have a process and ability to go back and say, now we learned, we improved, we got something, we settled on it. Can we go back to the USCDI and then clarify that to avoid confusion when somebody reads USCDI and is not going to find it in an implementation?
Right, because here we're looking for a common standard that would serve as an identifier across the board for what this content contains. And if we just put by example, that becomes a challenge because you haven't provided enough implementation guidance, if you will, for that common definition to be in place. Two different implementers produce two different low-link codes to represent what they perceive to be the same concept, and then you're not going to be able to exchange it well with the common intent of interoperability.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm gonna have Al speak, and then I'm gonna try to steer us to consensus. Al?
So two things. If the recommendation, the recommendation, moving the recommendation for the minimum low-ink code, like at minimum is how the USCDI is phrased, at minimum low-ink code, moving that from the at minimum standard of low-ink to the example, I think that, you know, that recommendation has some merit. But I did want to address Hans's question about going back and changing USCDI after US Core has been designed and CCDA have been designed. That has happened 4 or 5 times since we first published USCDI clinical notes. And not since then. I mean, it has never happened that US Core and CCDA have felt like it needs to be a different example clinical note. And so there has been no need so far over the last 5 updates to US Core, for example, to change the low-ink code that we provide as a minimum low-ink code for representing these data elements.
Thank you, Al. There's a lot of conversation back and forth on the link code element. So in general, I hear us agreeing that this is an important element to include, right? We're a base at there. Do all members of the committee understand the conversation implications of having the minimum standard for the LOIC code or not? I really want to make sure everyone's on board, hears that conversation. And then there's also a conversation if that move is made, whether it should be applied to all the other note types in the set. So make sure everyone's with us. It might be, okay, good. I hear yes, yes. Yes, there definitely are different directions. And so I'm gonna try to do even an old fashioned vote. Stephen?
Yeah, just, I'm looking at the tab in on the website, draft USCDI clinical notes. And the way it's phrased there is at minimum, and then they specify a LOINC code. Mm-hmm. And I think what's being proposed is changing those words at minimum to, for example, just mm-hmm. if just to clarify that.
Correct.
Okay.
But then there was a conversation about whether doing it, for example, is aligns with the intent of the question. And then there was another question about whether that, for example, would have to be changed to all different note types, correct? Like whether changing it to, for example.
Yeah, whatever change we make, we should make for all the node types. Yeah.
And if the and if by changing to, for example, now in USCDI allows for the process that when we, as we learn with the IG, was it actually the correct one to use? Is it something else based on how that goes? Because based on the discussions over the last couple of years, this has been a challenge. To recognize how much are we tied to this or how much could we really consider variation. But if there's an opportunity that we know that if we come to a different conclusion, it can be updated in the USCDI with an updated example or an actual firm one that now is definitely settled, I think that helps because that also gives clarity to the process because having been part of that process as well is that it is helpful to be that clear in the flexibility that you have. Otherwise, the discussions are not easy.
And thank you. And I appreciate that Ricky's raising his hand again because I was going to call on him anyway. Ricky, what are your thoughts on arriving here?
Sure. I just want to make sure I understand what we're describing. I know there was a discussion around changing the language of US Core from saying at minimum to, for example. And I actually think that would be a huge regression and a big problem if we said, if we changed that to, for example, in the US Core guide. I thought we were just discussing, for example, for our guidance that we would share for the groups that would be developing the updates to US Core. And the reason I say that is because when it says at minimum in US Core, it's not referring to at minimum that LOINC code, it's referring to at minimum these eight note types should be required to be shared by the FHIR servers. And I think that's a really important distinction because I think it could be really problematic from an interoperability perspective if we gave these servers the ability to choose whatever LOINC code they wanted and we were just giving them examples of what to use. Because I think there's been actually a lot of benefit in having prescribed LOINC codes for a discharge summary or a history and physical so that you can count on getting that note type with a specific code, which makes the downstream use cases much, much easier. So I just want to make sure we're talking about the same thing when we say at minimum. I think at minimum is actually a very confusing language in our guidance if we were to share that because it's the context is lost in terms of how it's used in US Core, where it's actually referring to the at minimum these eight note types, not at minimum this LOINC code, if that makes sense. And happy to have a side conversation and we can dig into this more if there's confusion. But I think this is an important point. I don't know if the time in this meeting is best used by digging into these details.
No, but I think that clarification is exactly what we need to do. So I think actually we're only talking about for the purposes, and Hans stated this, I think, in his explanation, that we're only talking about for applying to our recommendation within reference to USCDI, and we're not talking about a US Core. Is that correct? Hans, that was what you wrote.
That would be, I completely agree with Ricky that once we get to the 5-year score and CCA, we must know the specific loin code and the rest around it. But at this stage of UCDI to IG, locking in a loin code, either we need to have the discussion here which one is the right one in light of the challenges that we run into, or we need to leave the flexibility that the IG resolves it and then update an example accordingly or otherwise. So that, but in the end, we must have specificity or it won't work.
Okay, I'm going to try to synthesize again. Al, can you just weigh in whether you feel like the concept that we're discussing makes sense to you from an ONC perspective?
As long as, so that I've heard a number of different potential recommendations being made. The exact phrasing of it is up to the work group. I think that specific recommendations that I've heard include, but not limited to, remove the low ink code, move it from minimum to examples, or change the language from minimum to examples. Those are a couple of specific ones that I heard, and I may have missed some. But whatever specific recommendations, whatever specific details are, you know, requested by the work group, should go into those recommendations, as opposed to kind of a broader, more vague concept of reducing ambiguity or increasing clarity. Those aren't things that we can actually act on unless there's a specific area of ambiguity or a specific area of confusion that should be reflected in the recommendation.
Okay, I'm gonna try to synthesize the recommendation in parts. Again, and if we can literally just do like a, and much of this discussion applies to other elements. So it's kind of a first challenging conversation that will apply to other elements, right? So show of hands on the addition of narrative in the definition column and column G to clarify that that is the intent for this element. All in favor, raise your hands just so we can see.
And Sarah, I would add that it's at this time.
At this time?
Yeah, you said to narrative, that's we're just recognizing that that's the current state of development of USCDI.
Correct. Okay. Right, wonderful. Okay, and then any opposed to adding narrative in the definition? I'm gonna give some time for hands to come down. So we have a couple opposed, so just making sure Pooja and Hans, is that, am I clearly documenting you as not agreeing with addition of narrative or no?
Sorry, I think my mind was delayed. I agree with adding the narrative.
Okay,
all right. I was going through security.
that's why I called you out. Okay, we all agree on that, fantastic, right? And then I hear us all agreeing that this is a critical element. That is all. I'm not even querying on that, but maybe I should. I just want to dive down into what's in column H, right? I hear a couple different approaches there, and I just want to lean into them. I hear one is to there's actually a few. I'm going to lay them out. We have removal of the loin code altogether. We have the change from at a minimum only in reference to USCDI, not talking about US core, to example, so EG. And then we have leaving it as it is, as at minimum, right? Am I capturing, first of all, does that seem like the three options we're talking about? I see no objections, right? So again, so the three things are remove the loin code altogether. And again, I'm saying this applies to many different concepts. Or change to example, or leave at minimum, and then understand that each of these elements has implications and guidance that we're going to have to include in documentation in the transmittal letter to describe why we did it, right? So removal of loin code altogether. Raise hands, please, if you feel like it
Sarah,
should be.
This is Christina. Before we go, I think there's still a little bit of question around being able to vote for this based on the whether we agree this specific link code makes sense.
So can you talk more about that? So this is the link code.
I'm hearing different rationale for making this at minimum or as an example. And it seems like people agree that we need to have more clear direction. So having a LOINC code pointed to makes sense. However, there is concern with how US Core is updated. So where is this specific LOINC code in the process, and why did ONC point to this LOINC code? So my question is more around this specific LOINC code as opposed to whether it's we have a LOINC code as a minimum or as an example. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're wondering where this particular LOINC code as the standard was, where the origin of that, correct? Is that what I hear you saying?
Yes.
And then
we have concern that this LOINC code would not be used with US Core, CCDA, or other.
Hans kind of covered that because of the fact that it's actually being used for multiple purposes. Can anyone answer Christina's question? I'm assuming Pooja still has her hand up because she's in security, unless I'm wrong. Pooja, do you have a thought, or are you going through security? I'm going to assume she's going through security. Hans?
I think it is that generally what you see with document types in LOINC, there are about who knows how many, but they are currently right or wrong or indifferent, and we think is confusing for different purposes, for narrative and for document. So for emergency, there is the LOINC code that's being expressed there generally covers the topic very well of emergency department documentation. To describe that stay, but differentiating between a narrative version of that versus a fully structured everything together, that would be confusing if you use the same LOINC code to try to express that. That's where the crux of this issue is around clinical notes. So this is a reasonable one to think about, but to already put it in UCDI as a definitive minimum that cannot change when you go forward, and because that will be a hard one to go back to UCDI to update. That's, I think, where the challenge is. It gives less opportunity to resolve that issue that we have, how to manage narrative versus full documents.
Stephen?
But just to be clear, Hans, your concern applies to all of the clinical note LOINC codes, right? It's not, listening to Christina, I thought you were raising a concern specific to this clinical note type LOINC code, but the issue is generic across all.
It is across all of them, because that issue happens across all of them, that the same LOINC code is used to express the narrative as well as the full document. And that's what's confusing.
Have we had sufficient conversation on the matter at hand to proceed to some kind of assessment of how to proceed? Do we feel like anyone needs to have further conversation before we move?
So just quick comment. I think that the best thing probably is to defer to implementation guides where folks, the subject matter experts in that area, spend a lot of time identifying the appropriate coding for different parts of the report. I mean, this seems like a fine code to me, and there is a benefit in everyone agreeing to use the same code, but we just need to recognize that, different EHR systems and software may structure the report differently. Trying to figure out what the best single minimum code is at the outset, I guess it may have some value in terms of data aggregation abilities, but one of the criticisms of LOINC has always been that folks pick different codes, and sometimes it's the wrong code and it's not picked consistently. I think we may be forcing that situation to occur if we mandate that single LOINC code, as opposed to deferring to an implementation guide where it's clearly spelled out what a section or part of a report, whether it's structured or unstructured, represents and which code to use. I think as long as if we say the supporting standard is HL7 CDA, that has, you know, a mixture of SNOMED CT and LOINC codes for different parts of emergency services reports, all variants, renditions of it that exist out in the space. So I think it's just very hard to predict what will be the unforeseen consequences of stipulating a single code, even if we say and clarify it's a narrative part of the emergency department report.
Raj, can I ask if the example, changing it to the example, resolves that concern for you, as opposed to at minimum?
The only thing, when you put an example and you put a single code, I have a feeling folks will have a tendency to use it.
Yeah.
But.
Yes. which may be of assistance as the ecosystem works it out within implementation guides. But that is correct. That would be Mark.
And this is Steve, just to interject quickly. Looking at a minimum LOINC code seems a little peculiar to me when we think about that. That would imply there's a maximum as well, just from a logical perspective. So if you're saying a minimum, what becomes the alternatives? Or I don't think you can say anything but an example, because LOINC codes really aren't stratified.
Thank you, Ike. Mark?
This may be too broad and general a question, but I'm sort of thinking about how the implications for interoperability, we have made progress when we have gotten to specifying minimums like FHIR R4. And I'm wondering if anybody has an opinion about what it means to start taking out references to even as an example to codes that may help get people towards commonality. Thanks.
It looks like both Hans and Ricky are weighing in on here. Hans?
I would say, Marcus, that minimums are extremely important, that we have a basis for interoperability. The question is not whether we need minimums. At what point in time can we establish minimums? And I would argue is that at this point of the conversation of USCDI, the scope, the outline, and then drilling down into the IGs and the consequences, if you query for the data, is it okay that they have the same loan codes or not? And what we have seen is that the timing of when you set the minimum is mostly at question here. Not that we need to have a minimum, but that at this point, if we set it now and USCDI is, when stated like this, is unchangeable after we have learned what has happened, what's happening in the IG development, and then possibly subsequently thereafter, which might take a year or two or three before it's implemented and we actually see how it goes. That's the part that we have to be careful about, because in the meantime, what happens is there is already a demonstrable gap between what the USCDI could be and reasonably can be interpreted as to what you expect it to do and what the actual implementation guides are telling you what you exactly are supposed to do. That's what we're trying to manage, is that gap is as minimum as possible, so there's no confusion around what's expected, no matter which one you read, that you have a good understanding and end up in the same spot. So it is more about the timing of when we set its minimum versus whether we need a minimum. We need a minimum, but today in the first round, that seems too early.
And again, just for the point of, for the help of hoping to keep new members up to date, that kind of statement with Mark's concern and Hans's question are often conveyed in the text of our recommendation to HITECH. Ricky?
This is a great conversation. I would just agree with everything Hans said. And I think that overall, I think we're actually more in alignment than we think we are. And I think that's a good thing. At the end of the day, I think if you were to ask everyone in this group, is our ultimate goal to have a single LOINC code, or at least very specific guidance around a LOINC code in USCDI, in US Core, in CCDA? At the end of the day, once everything's done, once US Core is published, once the CCDA guidance is published, I think we would all say, yes, we want that to be very specific. And I think what we're saying right now is that we just don't need to make all those decisions right now in this meeting or as part of our report, because we don't have all the experts at the table right now that would need to decide which exact LOINC code to use. And I think that makes sense. So I had proposed above, you know, we could include in our guidance something to the effect of, can we, you know, ask the modeling groups to, quote, select the appropriate LOINC code? I do think the at minimum language in our guidance is confusing because of, like, there's not really the same type of hierarchy here where at a minimum would make sense. I think if we want to give it an example, that's fine. I think there is some risk that they might think that that's the example, that's the code they have to use. But I honestly don't think that will happen. I think these groups know how we work. They've done this before and they'll do the right thing. But I do think the at minimum language here is confusing and we should remove that and use, for example, or something similar.
That sounds, Ricky, thank you. And then Al, and then Stephen has an example of where to place the EG if we're using it in the chat, but I want to go back to Al.
I just wanted to say, so historically, when we first came up with clinical notes, we picked the at minimum code based on what the Argonaut project had defined as an acceptable minimum note type. And following that along, we chose what we believe to be an appropriate at minimum note because it's not, well, with the exception of the surgical operative note, it's not defined by, Argonaut does define that minimum note for operative note. We selected what we thought was an appropriate minimum note, high level note, for emergency department note, should that particular note, that particular code not be acceptable as they develop the new, adding that to the clinical note types, then certainly we would, if for some reason that's an inappropriate note to use, we certainly would, update USCDI in the next version to reflect that, that new note. And likely change the test guidance, the test method to support using whatever other note is deemed to be more appropriate.
Can you answer Ricky's comment in the chat? Because it's a definitions of at minimum. Because Ricky has a comment directly responding to what you're saying that might resolve the whole thing. Do you see it?
I think that so we don't. He's right. We do not define at minimum in USCDI. But what we mean by at minimum is this is the context. This is the context of narrative we're looking to get under this within the data element of whatever the data element name is. And since that previously had aligned with the note types that Argonaut defined, and then led to the US Core document reference inclusion. We felt that the minimum is just really to define the context and to align with the way that Argonaut US Core has done it in the past. But if there's a request to clarify the definition of at minimum, it's certainly something that ONC will look at. But we used the same language that Argonaut used and US Core uses, and felt like that was sufficient. But if there's request for a better definition for at minimum, by all means, send it our way.
So in my mind, if that is the intent of at minimum, that it seems to represent in implementation the same thing as an EG, as an example. Am I incorrect? If it's context and not mandate, then it is an example. But in ONC's intent, it is suggestive already.
I guess depending on how you look at it, you could think of it as an example or you could think of it as sort of a minimum standard.
And when we say at minimum, it must be, you know, it must be able to, at least it has to be able to capture a narrative that's identified by that particular LOINC code. That's what we mean by at minimum. It must be able to exchange narrative content that is identified by the LOINC code. If that makes sense. I think that makes sense. That's probably a more clear definition than we've ever given before.
That does make a lot of sense. And that seems to allow for the evolution and refinement that Ricky and Hans are speaking to, as opposed to being what some might interpret at minimum as is you must use this. Is that, am I capturing that? I think anyone have a commentary on what, if ONC defines at minimum with that intent clearly, and we've heard it so clearly stated in this visit, and new members, here we all are learning together. Does that meet the concerns of those of the members who wanted to have an example statement as opposed to an at minimum statement? Can I hear from Hans, Ricky Hans?
Yeah, Sarah, I think that if we, I think this discussion has been very, very good, that right now we are starting to really figure out how to best phrase our recommendation. That which may include that we want to reaffirm what Al just said, is that include a clarification of at minimum meaning this, and if it means that, then at minimum can stay in there. I have to keep in mind that at minimum is not limited to just this place. At minimum is used all over USCDI, so we need to recognize is that the moment that we change the definition of that, it would apply to everything. And is that really everywhere correct? I would argue that in some places, at minimum is absolutely correct from the start. It's clear what it is. In this case, it is a challenge because we have a narrative and an actual document to distinguish that there's an interest to not use the same LOINC code for that. That's where locking in on an at minimum with that definition would not be enough. So I think if we can work on a draft recommendation that we take everything that was discussed today in mind and then come back and say, did we capture that? Is there enough guidance for ONC to make that real or not? And then see whether we met that goal before we finalize that. I'd be hard pressed to say, yeah, we got it and we have the text.
Well, so especially right now, given we just arrived at an understanding of what at minimum means. So what I'm going to capture as an action item is in order to, given there's both definition of ONC approaches to standards here, which is the conversation on at minimum, which needs to be clarified. And then that will necessarily, if we all agree and understand that, that will guide our recommendation. I'm going to recommend that, and this is building right off of what you said, and because this also applies to the surgical operation note, I'm going to recommend that ONC try to draft their what's on their side for the definition, which is the definition of what at minimum means that we can all look at and see and digest. And then we work on, we have someone who volunteers to start working on the draft recommendation from us, which would be in column L, right? And then we come back next meeting and discuss it further. And again, that seems like this conversation could apply both to emergency department note and operative note. Does that sound good? Sound like a good plan? Someone willing to take an attempt at the recommendation for emergency department note? And then I'm assuming ONC will take a lead on defining at minimum so we all can understand it.
This is Ricky. I'm happy to take a pass at some short language there that I can put in column L.
Yeah, and I want to know what Hans is saying, that I want ONC to think we understand there's implications to defining at minimum, and it might have implications across USCDI. So thank you, Ricky, for taking lead on that. And then am I correct in thinking that, Rochelle?
Ricky, I'd like to offer my assistance with you on that, if you'd like.
Sure. Yeah, that's great. I can just add something to the column and you can comment on it there, so we can just do that publicly if you're okay with that.
Yes, that's fine.
And then Hans is offering to help as well.
Great.
Great. Okay. And then I feel like it's correct that this, again, Hans raised this originally, that we're talking about implementation, the recommendation we have regarding this, which is implementation and refinement focused, will likely apply to the surgical note too, or it could possibly apply to the surgical note as well. Hans?
Agreed. And I was just one general comment as we frame the language, and Al might be able to help clarify that. We have understood that USCDI is not only used to inform the implementation guides via US Core and CCDA, but is used in other programs as well. And in that context, I think we, in our phrasing, always need to keep in mind, can USCDI be read on its own without the benefit of the IGs and still lead you to the same answer if you were to read the IGs? Because we would like to make sure is that the interpretation, no matter where it is, about the same data, however it's being exchanged, that we actually land on the same expectations. So that's just a general consideration that we cannot rely on, unless that changed, and Al can clarify that perhaps, but that we cannot rely on the IGs being available to everybody. If you're certified HIT, you certainly would be familiar with it. But if you're not and you're in another program, you wouldn't have it, and you still need to come to the same conclusion.
Sorry, Sarah, can I answer that question
or
address that question? So I agree with Hans. To a certain extent, USCDI should stand alone, especially if somebody is using it for purposes other than certified EHR technology. Or health IT technology. We have yet to have a comment to that effect that it is too vague to implement, too vague to understand. But that doesn't mean that comment may not come up sometime in the future.
And then I see additional comments from Christina also wanting to have, you know, we're talking a lot about process this year, that it'd be helpful for ONC to provide text on how they arrive at a specific LOIC reference for that at minimum. That might be part of what ONC brings back. We've been talking a lot about one element today. I do want to get to a summary just so people can see the USCDI V2 elements, and then we have a little bit of time for public comment, and then I want to make sure that if there's anything that Al wants to mention in our last agenda item before public comment, we can get to that as well. Again, very fruitful conversation, really helpful for figuring out implications and of what needs to happen going forward. So many brilliant people on the call. Ricky, any final thoughts before we move on?
I was going to say briefly, there is one difference between the emergency department note and surgical op note, which is that the surgical op note actually does have a LOINT code already included in existing guidance. It's just not required. It's only suggested. So that's a case where there is more specificity currently available, whereas for ED note, there is nothing in current guidance.
Yeah. And Ricky, that's how we picked that note for that particular LOINT code for operative note, and we selected for the ED LOINT code, ED note LOINT code was what we felt to be the most generic ED code note type. But should that not be the case, according to whoever the experts are, the ones that are drafting the US Core and CCDA, certainly, we would be willing to adjust to find a more appropriate LOINT code to represent that for the at minimum standard.
Great, thanks.
Helpful. That's helpful, especially when we're considering the same term at minimum applying in both instances. All right, so we had a very in-depth conversation on really not whether the element warrants inclusion like we all settled on that, right? We had a conversation on revising the definition to more clearly reflect the intent, and then lots of conversation on the process and the evolution of applying applicable vocab standards and to any of the elements, given considerations of implementation and of course other standards in the ecosystem. So we have a group of people drafting the example recommendation based on this conversation. We have ONC coming back with a conversation on what at minimum means. We're going to be considering implications for applying that at minimum across other elements of USTDI. And then we will come back and discuss this again next week. Have I captured the conversation well enough? Is there anything that I missed in that summary of what we did today before we move on to a quick highlight? Just want people to see you the V2 elements before we move on. Does that sound like where we are? I'm gonna have silence be yes. If we can just quickly, I wanna make sure for people who didn't engage in the spreadsheet, if we can, I'll quickly scroll down. I just want people to see how people are populating the V2 elements all the way down.
You mean the level 2 data elements?
Sorry, yes, my apologies. Yeah, the level 2 elements. So you can see it starts on row 18, right? So we have members leading the submission. So in column D, we have work group members putting level, owning the submission. We have representative data classes and elements, working definitions, discussion on standards, and then you can see all the other elements apply. So anybody who, this is a great template and example. I want to thank Mark for often leading the charge here. Thank you so much for putting those level 2 elements in there. I just want people to understand that so that if they want to do that in between now and the next meeting, they can. Al, is there anything? So the next thing on the agenda, before we go to public comment, was to talk about a disposition of the working document, but I think we might have covered that. Is there anything else you want to discuss on that element before we move on?
Sorry, that particular slide references what I've been doing driving this. As a result, after we sent homework out last week, we did get some responses on some data elements or sets that should be discussed separately. And I don't know if you wanted to kind of highlight those and just we can confirm that we will get the ball rolling on getting these scheduled, getting the right people in line. I don't know if you wanted to go there yet. You wanted to try and dig into something else, one of these other data elements.
No, this is the last element. And then Mark, that was what Mark's comment was on as well. So if we go, we did get recommendations for subject matter experts regarding advanced directives. And we did get recommendations on bringing back gender harmony to rediscuss the 3 elements in the original submission, sex parameter for clinical use, pronouns and name. And then if we go to that row, if we can go across to the row that has the SME suggestions, I think it's in column L.
Advanced directive observations to start with?
No, well, I just wanted to have people to see the SME recommendations that are currently populating in column L, right? So we have, we had a SME recommendation regarding bringing somebody in regarding differentiating or possibly adding in medication to immunization lot number. And if anybody, we have members of FDA on here and we have our pharmacy work group friends. So maybe consideration for that. And then any commentary on that before I move on? Again, this is regarding Mark.
Sorry, I'll throw out the question that was in my mind, which is, do we need a SME? Somebody may offer to bring one, but do we need it given the amount of time it raises. I thought it makes sense to do one for sex parameter and it makes sense to do one for care plan, but I wasn't sure about author, whether we really needed one. And that's okay. That's the kind of assessment, because it's going to take a lot of a meeting.
It is going to take a lot of a meeting. So So this is, that's a good question to frame it. So do we feel like we need a subject matter expert to help us guide whether we're to apply lot number to medications and not just immunizations? Again, stating very clearly this was an ONC question, would that be helpful? Maybe without a clear yes, I'm going to state maybe the sometimes that comes up in conversation. So I'm going to keep on going. What about the author question? Do we feel like it'd be helpful to have SME come and discuss the author element? I don't believe that was part of the email exchanges yet. We do have, again, advanced directive and gender harmony coming back for those other ones here. For author, do we feel like it'd be helpful to have SME guidance?
And maybe that's a good question for ONC, given that, in my mind, because they did ask a question about it. Does ONC think that a SME presentation would be helpful?
Possibly. If the work group has enough subject matter expertise that can speak to those questions, that can answer those questions, whether it's some of our health IT developers like Hans that are on the call, and we do have others to see what sort of progress has been made since USCIV 1 came out. Without author, that's one of the specific questions. We've already heard from some of the members of the work group that indicate that the author role component or the author role concept is a valuable addition. But if the work group feels like there is enough collective wisdom and experience to address those specific questions, maybe not. Maybe Mark is right, an SME presentation is not needed, just a discussion amongst those people with enough expertise.
So what I hear, this is similar to the lot number, that let's just proceed with the conversation. And then as we do sometimes identify whether we need additional expertise, if we hit sticky problems we can't resolve. Does that sound good? And then, but we are inviting and seeking subject matter experts specifically for the gender harmony elements and for advanced directive based on the emails. Does that sound good, folks? Those are the only two specific SMEs we've, I think, Al, am I missing anybody? I think those are the ones we heard so far.
Advanced directive observation orders and care plan. Care plan, Mark suggested care plan, and then SPCU pronouns and name to use was the other one.
There's certainly a number further down in the spreadsheet where SME has been recommended. Just tried to highlight.
Or those. Some level two data limits. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I can see Aaron has offered my apologies. So Aaron has specifically recommended a subject matter expert on, so we have care plan captured, we have advanced directive, we have the gender harmony elements, which are all three. And then we also have Aaron's clear recommendation for SMEs in the substance food data element. And then we have the health insurance elements, right? I think that captures it. All right. And so if you have specific guidance about who those SMEs should be, please let us know. We do need to get those subject matter experts enlisted. I work very closely with Rob, Carol, so I can reach out to them, Mark, or you can, however you wish, regarding the gender harmony element.
I don't care, just clarity, non-ambiguity.
Yes, I'm happy to take lead. And Rob is working very closely okay. with
Gravity and right now. You can give them my contact and I can work with them to bring it to the committee.
Fantastic. Okay. All right. And any additional elements? I mean, any additional recommendations before we go to public comment? We have one more minute.
Sarah, just noting Al's comment there that it will come from ONC.
Correct. I saw that. All right. And now, after a very robust conversation, expect the homework to be similar this week to last week. We are moving Seth back to you for public comment, I believe.
All right, thank you, Sarah. If we at this point are going to transition to open the meeting for public comment. So if you are on the Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the raise hand function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you are just participating by phone only today, you can press *9 to raise your hand. And then once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. And we'll give folks a minute to queue up. Okay, no comments. Not seeing any hands raised either. So that will conclude our public comments, and I will transition it back to Sarah and Ike to close this out.
Ike, do you want to lead in the closeout?
Sure. Thank you all for contributing actively in today's meeting. This is an example of the wonderful things we can do with collaboration. We've got a few more weeks to go through the rest of the elements, and I'm looking forward to it.
Definitely looking forward. And I want to make a specific call out to any newer members. If you feel like you need any help in orienting to the work or participating in the conversation, we want to make sure that we include all of your wisdom in our work. So just reach out and we're going to be happy to try to rub you along. I was new last year too, so I understand how it feels. Seth? I believe we're ready to move to adjournment.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. We will officially adjourn the meeting and look forward to talking with you all next week. And just be on the lookout for the homework message that should be coming out tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, friends.